welcome to another episode of Citizen Kane, coming to you from beautiful Keene, New Hampshire. It's October 16th, 2016, and there are dead leaves everywhere, and they're still falling. They'll be falling for another couple of weeks, I believe, if you're one of those leaf peeper peoples who I hear exist somewhere. I haven't seen any this year, but if you're out there and you're looking for the pictures of the foliage, you've got about 1-2 weeks to go.
The
leaf peepers. That's what they're called, right?
I don't think there are any here, but you come from a place that doesn't have foliage that changes like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how you spend your money by coming over here. It sounds very extravagant, especially because, you know, we live here and so we see it. It's like, oh, it's Thursday.
There's leaves
good
on the ground.
Good God, gorgeous leaves everywhere.
Usually, we live stream on Facebook every Sunday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This evening, we're having some difficulties. Couldn't figure it out, and I wanted to get the show started. It is Sunday evening, and some of us work in the morning. So I'll try to get that figured out so that you can actually enjoy the program live. However, I do get it up on YouTube pretty quickly, and of course it airs during the week on Cheshire TV here in Keene, so you can always enjoy it afterwards. If you would like to call at our usual regular hours on Sundays, that number is 267-521-2771, or you can Skype us, citizenkane.org. Of course, you can send emails directly to me. That email address is show@citizenkane.org, or of course you can message me on the Facebook page, facebook.com/citizenkane.org. My name is Conan Soliday, and joining me as usual is the lovely Shauna Nash.
Yep.
Shauna, are you going to help me rake leaves up in a couple of days?
I didn't know we had to rake leaves up. I don't remember doing that last year.
Well, actually, that was a trick question because I do not rake leaves.
Well, as soon as you stop beating your wife, I will.
I actually, and this is something that's always, this is one of those little pet peeves that's always bothered me. Here in Keene, we have leaf pickup service, which we're all paying for regardless of whether you rake your leaves or not. They come through with their vacuum. Everyone rakes their leaves to the corner of their property. The big vacuum cleaner comes through and they suck them all up. And
I don't understand, because when I lived, before I moved here into this house, I was under the impression that it was required. Like, you could not have your lawn covered in leaves. You had to rake them or have somebody rake them up. So when I saw you never doing it, I was kind of surprised.
Actually, I'm not.
Like, oh God, is this going to be the hill he freaking dies on?
I'm not sure about that ordinance. I don't know that it exists. There's a grass cutting ordinance, if I'm not mistaken. But
well,
leaves?
I'm just going by what I remember being told. I did always rent from, you know, landlords. So, mm-hmm. You know, I never lived in an apartment building out here. And, you know, so I never, just my impression.
Well, here's the problem with letting leaves just lay on top of your grass. All winter season, you blanket them.
Mm-hmm.
And if come springtime, your grass might not have survived because they had wet leaves on top of them all season. And of course, it's nasty. It gets nasty and slick, and that's the first thing you slip on and break your neck when you're walking around out in your yard.
Well, I can only hope.
Now, most people do take advantage of this entitlement. I do not, however, because I mulch my leaves. I cut my grass one last time. Mulched them up into a fine powder, and you don't even see them a couple days later. And it's quite, hey, you know what it is? It's great fertilizer. So that's the other thing I'm not doing. I'm not in the springtime forking out big bucks for fertilizer to make sure my grass stays nice and green, because I did it with leaves. And of course, I got chickens and rabbits, and I take a couple of bags of mulched leaves, and I keep that all season for them, so it doesn't get too gunky in there during the winter months, because they start running out of stuff, and I don't go buy hay or anything or straw, so it's free leaves, right?
The Lord provides.
Yes. So this week in Keene,
what's been happening?
This week in Keene,
weren't a whole lot of events that took place at the city level. They went by pretty quick. I mean, each meeting was about an hour each. We've been experiencing some pretty hefty ones lately, but this week was pretty cut and dry.
However, there were
two resolutions that came through that are very impactful, and even though they went, you know, they were over with real quick. And of course, we're going to talk about both of them. What was that, Shauna?
I was going to say it's interesting that there is so much that happened during this week through city council. And my impression from reading the paper is that nothing happened. There was nothing really interesting. I mean, there was opportunities for people who are victims of the news all the time, who are badgered over and over through the TVs of what they need to get worked up about. There was stuff to get worked up about. There was, you know, a teacher suspected in something to do with drugs. There was another woman suspected in drugs or something, you know.
High school, I think she's a guidance counselor.
I don't even know. Okay, I'm not saying I want to talk about it. But there was the little tiny stuff. There were individuals who were singled out by the news for public scrutiny and ridicule and condemnation by people who are better than them. But what you want to talk about, and what I think is interesting, because it does affect a lot more people, is what goes on in city council. And what goes on in city council and at these committee meetings is so boring and so dry. Like, I can even tell in the Sentinel articles when somebody was actually there and when they just read the minutes later. Mm-hmm. So,
well,
what happened?
And you know, I actually posted both of these meetings online. They're at the Citizen Kane YouTube page. Mm-hmm. And there was actually someone who commented that this is the news that you report on. This is so boring. And it's like, yes, that is exactly how this stuff gets passed. It sneaks through.
Yeah.
Because no one is paying attention. And before you know it, you have a silly ordinance that we all have to live with because a couple of individuals, city planners, decided that, hey, this is something that makes me feel good. I'm going to shove it down everyone's throat.
There you go.
So this first one has to do with, and by the way, so we in one of the first episodes, I think it was the first one, we talked about a new legislation. Actually, it was an amendment to old legislation that actually prohibits voters from entering polling places wearing political attire, and that could include a shirt, a T-shirt, or a hat, or a pin.
I think that was the second episode, and I was joking, oh, you couldn't wear a Harambe T-shirt, and things have changed so much, it's pretty clear to me now, like, oh, you couldn't go into a polling place to vote for president or whatever with, like, a Bill Clinton as a rapist T-shirt. You couldn't do that, because that would be political. Well, there's no way you could get away with doing that.
Yeah, and if you're going to make the argument that we need to prevent people from, like, passing out pamphlets, like, inside the polling place, like, they're standing right next to the booth, and they're, like, hassling people. All right, I can understand that.
Yeah.
But now they've prohibited attire. Because I guess someone thinks your Clinton T-shirt is going to influence my vote after I've driven all the way over to this place. I've got my little cheat sheet in my hand to go down the list easily.
Yeah.
Because you already know what
you're going to do. If you make it out
the cheat list that I got from my neighbor who actually pays attention to the news and told me who to vote for and who not to.
Yeah.
And so I've gotten all the way there, and your Clinton T-shirt's going to somehow prevent me from carrying on.
Well, I think that's similar to what the people who are in favor of this kind of said. I think I didn't really mind the prohibition on certain clothing, because I think it's easy to mitigate. And, you know, yes, it's freedom of speech, but it's a temporary refrain on your speech. And it's like, well, how much damage does it really do? How much does it affect? You know, unless you're going into the voting, into the polling place with your buddies, mm-hmm. you know, your cool T-shirt that, you know, says Trump, says whoever you want, or whatever you want, like whatever the Harambe meme means to people. You know, it's just going to boost morale. That's all it
really
does.
For the folks who might not understand the whole Harambe meme, could you tie it, wrap it up, and put a ribbon on it for everybody?
Well,
Harambe, of course, was the gorilla who was executed.
Peace be upon him. Yeah.
A little while ago in the zoo, a little kid fell in, and now Harambe has become what? Kind of a messiah figure?
I think it's an inside joke among people who are so used to being inundated and badgered into really caring about something that really doesn't effing matter. And what makes it so funny, to me at least, has been people have created this whole persona around Harambe, this gorilla, and, you know, they've added more seriousness to it. You know, they've added more, oh, he didn't do anything wrong. He was going to college. He was a great leader. He was a great spiritual advisor. He's watching the heavens.
And, of course, you should vote for him, because he's a much better candidate than any of these clowns who are currently
I haven't
up
seen
there.
Any really going that far. I've seen him allied with certain candidates. Mm. I've seen him disapproving of others or whatever. I've seen him just as a watermark behind a picture of another candidate in a not flattering light. So, you know, it really just, there is no real explanation for it. It's just, you know, I think it's the younger people, I guess some millennials, some older millennials who are just like, screw you, establishment media telling us what to care about. We're going to keep going with this one because it hit the tipping point, the straw that broke Harambe's back. So this is no political science? Or what is this?
So they sneaked that one piece of legislation in there. And this week, the city of Keene, with the help from the new attorney general here in New Hampshire, went ahead and put this ordinance in the place. Actually, it's been voted on by the committee. It will go forward to be voted on by the entire council on the 20th. But basically it says the city desires to prohibit the placement or affixing of political advertising in the locations specified herein, but desire to permit the placement or affixing of such advertising on all other city rights of way, to extend that such placement or affixing does not interfere with the maintenance of the location, obstruct the safe visibility or safe passages of bicyclists, pedestrians, and motorist vehicles, or otherwise impair public safety. And then a big list of all the roads.
That is all the roads.
City property and public right-of-ways that you cannot place political advertising. And it's basically every main road in Keene.
Well, the part that gets it is the maintenance of the... does not interfere with the maintenance of the location. So if they can't mow over it...
Correct.
That means it's got to go.
Correct. Now, before... Now, they have a state statute, and there is also... there's two state statutes that they are using to back this up. And the first one has to do with municipalities, New Hampshire municipalities, being able to write bylaws controlling electioneering. The one that really matters, however, is State Statute 664:17, which protects our right to place signs on public rights of way as long as it doesn't slow traffic. It doesn't damage the safe flow of traffic.
They have 666.
Dealing with maintenance, that's not in there. You are, if it's, that's just something they have to go around. They have to pick your sign up and they have to move it and mow. And you know what? They only mow the grass like one time during political season. So that whole argument... I don't really understand it, but no, it's statute protects our rights to do this, and the city has pretty much snuffed that out.
Well, do you have 664:17 in full? Because here in the city's document, they list it as their reason for doing what they're doing. They're using it to back up what their prohibition on political
signs. Actually, they're using the ability for municipalities to create bylaws.
They mentioned 664:17, what you have right here.
I don't understand why. The only thing I can think of is that they read this first little comment in the first line, no political advertising shall be placed on or affixed to any public property. And then they just stopped reading. Because if you keep reading that line, it says, including highways, rights of way, or private property, without the owner's consent. So basically that tells me that you can't put someone else's signs up. I can't put your sign up, Shauna, without your permission. If you keep reading, it pretty much tells the dates that you can do this and when you have to have the signs up.
Yep.
And that you can't slow safe flow of traffic. It's basically all this thing says.
As long as the advertising does not obstruct a safe flow of traffic and the advertising is placed with the consent of the owner of the land over which the right-of-way passes. Well, okay. So they don't know how to read an entire statute or they just went with it anyways. It's like, we need something to back up what we already want to
do. That's how I'm leaning.
Okay.
They wanted to do something to get rid of all the signs because the maintenance people do have a problem.
Yeah.
It's probably pretty aggravating to deal with this.
There's a lot of signs out there right now that aren't political.
There are other people. Yes, exactly. And those are, according to city ordinance, those are illegal.
Oh, go get them.
But there are also a lot of people who just see it as a blight, as an eyesore. And there are places here in town where there's just the signs are so twisted and dirty and fallen over. And it just looks like a blight.
Well, it looks like a blight on that candidate.
I can see people who just don't want to deal with it. And, you know what? These people, the people who are passing this.
Yeah.
Who are going to be voting on it on the 20th.
Yep.
They've already been voted into office. These are all the incumbents.
If they're up.
If they're running again, they have the advantage. The person who doesn't have the advantage is the guy you've never heard of.
Who's not on that
who wants to run in the future.
Mm-hmm.
He only has a couple of options of getting his name out there, and one of them is political signs, and if he knows enough people on social media, you've got that option.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is...
Could write letters to the editor all day and become one of those recognizable,
call into the radio programs or whatnot. This is a violation of our freedom of speech.
Well...
It violates the common ground, the commons. You know, if you're going to have the commons, then, and I have to pay for them...
Then they better be damn common...
I should be able to do whatever I want on them.
Yeah.
And that includes the main square where they put the Christmas tree up every year, you know, that we're paying for.
Yeah, but there's Christmas lights on
So when do the pagans get to set up their memorial?
Have you been to Keene? I always see it as, when I first heard about this, I didn't go through all the statutes and everything that they're backing it up. I just kind of thought about it, and it comes down to... If it's on city property, it's not allowed. If it's on private property, it is allowed. Which means if you don't own property, you shut up because you can't afford to talk. Mm-hmm. Now, isn't the same city council the same one that, from what I remember, like every chance they get, they bark and complain about Citizens United, which in public memory means... Money is speech and corporations and big money is controlling our elections, which the Trump campaign kind of disproves, but whatever. And so did the Bernie Sanders campaign, but whatever. Citizens United needs to be overturned because money is controlling our elections. And that kind of seems to support that. The prohibition of political signs on public property. If you don't have property... You don't get to talk in the form of signs.
Yeah, I don't know about the people who are voting on this at the city level. I don't think that's the case. I don't know this new attorney general.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even look the person's name up, but I mean, I don't know where their biases stand.
I'm pretty sure the city in general, I mean, maybe there's been so much turnover that they're not in favor of overturning Citizens United. But from what I remember, they are very in favor of overturning it because, you know, money shouldn't equal speech. Yet, if you can't afford land, you don't get to put your sign up.
I cut a couple of clips from the actual event, and this is the actual complaint, which I found interesting.
Okay. You had indicated that this was initiated by a complaint about a sign. What was the circumstance of that particular sign that caused the complaint? Was it compliant with the state law at the time? Or the complaint was the location of it being in a roundabout or...
The location was on a public piece of property. So it was at the rec center. Not election day, but it was posted at the rec center weeks before.
Okay, and now, so this is back in 2008. This is where the original complaint originated. Someone put a sign on a roundabout or something where you're not supposed to.
At the old rec center, which little tiny, yeah.
Now, they wanted to remove this sign, and they called the AG, and the AG at the time decided, no, you have, according to the law,
you can't
remove this.
All right.
And so they didn't. Now,
oh, no.
Now there's a new AG in the office, and he has interpreted the law differently and has given the city permission to create this bylaw. And, of course, they jumped right on it.
So there's an 8-year complaint that's still percolating through two different state attorney generals?
Well, and this is a presidential year, so there is a lot more signs out there than usual. So I'm thinking it might have sat and people forgot about it. And this year it's like, oh, crap. Look at all them signs.
I don't remember if there are that many more signs.
Look at all those chickens.
In the 2012, 2012 was an election year too, and I don't remember signs being that big of a deal. I remember people complaining, oh, there's so many signs. It means we're a political nation. Oh, it's so terrible. Like, I never understand that. I mean, they're kind of hideous afterwards. Some names are more offensive to me than others or whatever, but it's just signs.
Yeah, well, the hideous thing to me was losing 4 signs this year. I'm still a little upset about that. Thank you, thief. Anyways, here back to the lady.
Okay, but it was posted at the rec center weeks before.
But not in a right-of-way?
But not in the right-of-way. Well, it actually might have been close to the right-of-way. But again, at that point in time, a lot of confusion. We didn't know if we had the authority to remove it, not remove it. Called the AG. They said, oh, you don't have the authority to remove it until the governing body says you have the authority.
So the governing body, the governing body is now saying we have a little more leeway as far as the laws that we can impose at a local level. This is not something, so the state laws have not changed.
State laws have not changed. Now we'll defer to the attorney, but my understanding is someone else reading the statute, they have a different opinion of it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, that's it in a nutshell.
Wow.
It's the same law, it's just been interpreted differently.
I like the way she backtracks a little bit. First she says it's not in the right of way, and then, well, it was. Well, it kind of was. It's like, well, you know, you can tell whether it was or not. You could have taken a picture. And if it's where I remember the old rec center being in 2008, little tiny driveway, and there's a little island of grass outlining where the cars are supposed to go. If it's in that little smidgen of grass, it's not in the right of way. In the right-of-way would have been blocking cars. It would have been Ian in front of a cop car. So totally useless and not doing anything, but whatever.
I think Sutherland wraps this up pretty nicely. He did not. He was, out of 4 of the counselors, he was the only one who voted against this.
And of course.
He was the only one who was right. Go ahead and continue on with this plan.
All right.
Just reading through this, I mean, I'm looking at the locations and definitions. It seems to me that, and while I do believe a lot of the signs are a blight on the environment, I do believe in free speech. And it seems to me that a lot of this would really wipe out about 90% of the signs that are presently stuck in the ground right now. So I'm going to be voting against this. I feel that this is too restrictive on speech. I think it's part of the political process, as ugly as it may be. And it's just my comment. Thank you.
All righty.
I don't really see this as a big deal. I think the political yard signs in general, more and more people are realizing how little effect they actually have, and especially with social media and other kinds of ways of getting yourself out there. This doesn't really bother me. And if it.
He mentioned social media as a way to get yourself out there. Just want to point out, social media is not good. It's unhealthy.
If it's easier for Public Works and our employees who are taking care of the maintenance of the city grounds, then why not?
Why not? And that's pretty much everyone who voted in the affirmative. That was basically how they came at this. Why not? Never mind, there's a law that says we have the right to do this.
So to quote George Hansel about whether to vote for a law that would restrict freedom, why not?
Yeah. Of course, like I said, this will go ahead and be voted on by full council on the 20th. I did write a letter to the editor explaining the issue. And one thing that I forgot to mention, the most important thing about, all right, so free speech. Ah, my free speech rights.
Why not?
Okay, yeah, why not? What about the lawsuits? Because they're going to come. I mean, look at the Robin Hood issue that's been going on for years now, and the cities and
that
the state.
That's silly behavior that should not have been done.
But
the city could have.
When it comes to freedom of speech, the city is going to lose every single time. This is going to be more lawsuits for the city.
Yeah.
Which I guess doesn't really bother them because you know what? It's
why not?
It's a job, and it's not their money. It's our money. If you're listening to this, and you feel that the signs are a blight, and you'd rather not have them, all right. Put that aside and just think about the money that the city is going to be paying in defense of all the people who are going to sue them because their signs were taken down illegally. And it is illegal. And freedom of speech is going to win.
Do you have the video of the guy saying that the signs don't change anybody's vote? Mm-hmm. Or do you not have that?
I have
it. Do you want to play that?
Okay, keep talking.
I have a couple things about that. Nope, that's not it. Get that away.
So you like that one. So I can't remember the guy. Richards.
Richards.
Was talking about the – he likes to see signs because it tells him who and how his neighbors are voting, which is actually kind of nice as well.
It does open up people for retribution, I guess, and revenge or whatever.
Thank you.
But
all righty. Any further comments or questions?
Is this
– political
this
yard
it?
Signs
this
in general it. More and more – especially with social media and other kinds of ways of getting yourself out there. You know, this doesn't really bother me. And if it's easier for Public Works and our employees who are taking care of the maintenance of the city grounds, then why not?
Why not? Why not, says George Hansel, supposedly the Republican, conservative.
You know what it tells me is, how are my friends voting? I mean, because on election day, I know what I'm going to do. There isn't a sign in the world that's going to change my mind. But if I drive down the street, oh, hey, yeah, look how Ed's going this year. That's what I think about them. Put them out on your front yard. No, I'll support this. I like it.
There.
So everybody seems to think, and for a long time, even while sitting here, I thought, oh, it's people's advertising. And I think now that these signs, for some people who really have no recognition at all, it is advertising. Mm-hmm. It's very ineffective. You might as well just buy postcards or get arrested for something innocuous and generally good, or, you know, get good at memes. But I think why people call it a blight and why people are offended by it is because of the names that are on there. It upsets people to see a Trump sign. This viscerally upsets people to see, well, I would say a Gary Johnson sign, but he's a moron, so he doesn't really count and everybody knows it. Or some people to see a Hillary Clinton sign. It upsets them because these signs are not just simply advertising or number ticks of who's going to vote for whom.
These are trigger warning signs.
No, it's morale boost. But if
a sign that is on public property offends you so much that you'll go and
it's
steal
not,
it.
No, it's not the sign itself. It's no, people stole your signs because they're morons and they thought it was cool to make fun of you because you're a free stater. So it's cool to steal your stuff. That's why your signs were stolen.
You don't think it's because I offend them by what it says on the signs? It
the
says
only,
lower taxes?
No, the only way,
government?
The only way in which
that
you,
scares people.
The only way in which you offend people is because you're known as a free stater. That is what is offensive. Nothing else about you is offensive to anybody. Maybe your mom's offended by your long hair. I'm with you on that. But for the most part, it's about morale. I mean, that's Shaggy Dog story to get to that. But no, it's for morale. It's for morale. I mean, I drive by some neighborhoods that have a lot of Trump signs, and I'm like, yeah, this is cool. It's a cool neighborhood, whatever. And
this lady.
And the same time, you know, when I know you drive through signs that neighborhoods that have Bernie Sanders signs still, or good God, the ones that have Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton signs, it's like, oh man.
I don't know how many of those I've seen, actually.
I've seen enough. Yeah, but I'm sure we've been in the car and we've seen enough where we just kind of, and it's not bad for us because, you know, we kind of are beyond it. We know the game's rigged. And, you know, kind of just an eye roll. But I think for some people, it really is a morale boost, like a real visceral one, especially in this election. I mean, I've been, what's the name for when you're catcalled and it's not
offensive?
Offensive, but it's actually kind of cool. You don't know because you're not a chicken.
A compliment?
Dudes don't catcall you.
A compliment?
But, yeah, I mean, I was technically, I guess, catcalled. Because of a sticker that I have showing in the window of my car.
Hold on.
All right.
Swing!
Would that be a compliment for you?
I've had much more vulgar stuff shouted at me that I took as a compliment because it was just the vibe was so nice. But yeah, I mean, but
you hang around with some really scraggadads who have their very.
No. I'm talking about I was leaving the gym to go to my car to go to work in the morning, and there were dudes in a truck, a work truck. It was clearly like the name of a business that I could read. And these dudes were like, "Hey, vote Trump." And I'm like, "Yeah, man, you gotta."
They were like,
No, they were very, you know, pleasant young men. I don't know, whatever. And it was very happy, I guess, and it was, you know, cheerful or whatever. And that was all just by the sign. They weren't happy that I had a sticker that I had smartly not stuck to my car. I just, you know, propped it in the window because I'm not that dumb. But that's all that the signs do. They are morale boost, and they, I don't want to say like they're triggers for people who are so sheltered and they need a safe space or anything, but some people get really offended. I mean, when there was that that head shop on Main Street that got arrested for selling stuff they shouldn't have been selling, supposedly spice, I don't know. I mean, I walked by once on my lunch break, and there was a woman who just was shouting at the window display because they had a water pipe on display. And she just was screaming at it, "This place is going to hell!" And there's no way it had anything to do with an actual glass pipe. It was what I wish she was that controlled of herself, in control of herself. It is the symbol. It's what it represents. It's what the media tells them that sign means to them. It means that this whole city is in favor of this person or this, you know. And so what can the city do about it? What can the city council do about it?
They can write illegal ordinances.
They can say, "You all shut up," because there's a lot more Trump signs in the city than I've seen than there were a couple months ago.
20th, this is the deadline. Call your counselors. Whether this bothers you or not, there will be lawsuits that will be coming, and I don't want to foot the bill. This is a dumb law. It needs to go away. So that's...
And if you're not sure about...
You should be considered of that option.
And if you're weighing whether you should go to this meeting on the 20th, just think of what George Hansel said. Why not?
It's a full council committee. It doesn't mean anything. You missed the committee where you had to be to actually talk about it. I actually missed this one because I went to this one, which has to do with another type of individual that probably the same lady who was screaming at the water bong is all in favor of this resolution, which was brought to us by Councillor Philip Jones, who this is a growing trend across the country, which involves painting blue lines down the center of the street to support the local police.
To show support for the police.
To show support. The actual recommendation is that Keene City Council authorize the city staff to paint a blue line in between the no-passing yellow lines along the length of Marlboro Street from Eastern Avenue to Main Street, which is a huge chunk of real estate. This would serve to signify our community's support and respect for all the services provided and the job done by local police personnel. And this next line is what bothers me the most. All our police staff, this is defending that recommendation. All our police staff drive along Marlboro Street before and after each shift. Okay. The blue stripe would serve as a reminder that they always have the support of the local community. And that bothers me because, you know, not every human being is a good human being. There are, you know, individuals who go above and beyond, heroes maybe.
Are you saying that?
And they need to be recognized. I agree with that. There are individuals in every profession who just go to work and punch in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all they're there for is to collect a check. And there are individuals in every profession who don't need to be there because they're not proficient at their jobs or because they're actually bad people. And they're in every profession, including the police department. I'm sorry. Painting this blue line is like a trophy, is like a participation trophy for the entire team. It's not teaching. It's not good protocol. You are supporting and offering achievement status to someone who might not have earned it. And, of course, it's a horrible, horrible form of hero worship where you're calling out an entire profession and you're saying, hey, you guys are heroes. I don't know who you are. I don't know, you know, what your status is this month, if you've actually even done your job. But because you put this particular uniform on, you're a hero, man, and I love and support you. And by the way, for the record, I spent 4 years active duty.
Mm-hmm.
I get complimented on that all the time. Thank you for your service, Conan. And I'm like, yeah, you know what?
You do have veteran plates.
Well, I have.
So that does draw attention
well,
to
I,
it.
Well, I do that for a reason.
Okay.
And because of the bumper stickers I have right alongside those veteran
okay.
plates.
So it's part of a larger message.
Which proclaim the fact that I am anti-war.
Yeah.
And what we're doing overseas is not constitutional. It is a form of empirism where we're going and spreading democracy to folks who might not want it. And in reality, all we're really doing is we're protecting natural resources that we would rather have. The old rich men in this country would rather poor soldiers defend for them.
Mm-hmm.
But where was I going with that? All right, so veterans plates.
All right. You're a veteran, therefore we have to listen to you. Because okay. that's what everybody else does all
okay,
the time.
Okay, you don't. Because I joined the military. I have a huge military family. But I
yep.
joined the military because college. Because I got out of high school, I didn't know what to do with myself.
Yeah.
All right. But there's got to be some super patriots in the military. Yeah, you know what? I didn't meet those guys. There's like maybe, I mean, a fraction of a percent of people who were just so gung-ho, we call them jarheads, who were just so gung-ho and they're willing to jump on a bomb for their comrades. Those people do exist. But ultimately, nah, man. We're military,
the majority.
Bunch of mercenaries. And it's the same thing with cops. I mean, you got, yeah. Bunch of mercenaries. They're doing it for the job. It's good pay.
Yep.
It's a cush job. You get to be a figure of authority.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might get off on that. Actually, a lot of people probably get off on that.
Well, they do encourage everybody to join.
So I'm sorry. And it's not just the police. It's the fire department and it's the teachers. You know, these people, they get so much credit. And it's like, yeah, what did you really do? Shauna?
Well, I've gotten awards for not getting fired from my job for a whole year. I mean, they have, you know, one of my jobs that I've had, well, McDonald's, when I worked there, my first real legit over-the-table job as a kid, you know, I got a nice pin, said I'd been there a year, and I'm like, what is this?
I think that's trying to keep turnover small, trying to keep you there by making you feel good about it.
But at the same time, with my last job, you know, they also had trophies for not quitting after a year. So I think the sentiment that Philip Jones presents is sincere. I have no reason to doubt it. I understand the idea of being very grateful for people.
Mm-hmm.
just by virtue of what you imagine they go through every day.
He understands the meme that these people are dying for us, that they are going, that every single one of them are heroes, and that they're dying for us, and their job is so hard, and that they deserve a little extra support from the community. And all I'm saying is, I'm sorry, that is not true.
No, I totally agree with you when, you know, you're saying it's participation trophy, it's not right, it's gonna, you know, just lead to bad things all the time. My understanding of the sentiment behind it, as I was trying to say, is I think it's sincere, I think it's genuine, but it is very childish because it is so simple. It's these cops over here on the news that I was told about, that the news forced me to learn, sort of, tells me that my cops nearby in my town are very stressed out and very worried. Mm-hmm. How can I make them not be worried? How can I do something for them?
Here's Jones explaining his reasoning behind the behind the resolution.
All right.
It's a kind of a movement started a long time ago. Started as a third grade class project in Knoxville, Tennessee. And the kids went out and just started painting blue lines all over the.
You know, when I said that this sentiment, this idea was childish, I actually felt like I was being kind of mean. I was driving to the store today and I was thinking about it. I'm like, oh, that's really sincere. People genuinely feel it, but it's kind of childish. Well, I probably shouldn't call it that. But God, he just admitted that it was the idea started by third graders, third grade children. I love the idea of children. I totally want kids, my own kids to deal with. I do not want to be ruled by them and policy at even the city level dictated by what children feel in their tummy heart.
By the way,
this is disgusting.
By the way, children who are also
They're not even. Yeah, they're ruled by other.
They're ruled by adults and they have to recite this pledge of allegiance every morning that they can't possibly understand. And so, of course, they, you know, here...
I would be fine with children reciting the Nicene Creed every morning,
the lowest form in our communities. And, of course, they are looking up to heroes. And you think when you grow up and you start paying taxes and you start paying rent and you, like, you start to realize what's actually going on.
No, you would think...
If it stays with you, I'm sorry, that's a sickness in my book.
No, I mean, I totally understand little children wanting to do something for their dad or the dude that they think is the big man who's going to help them. That's fine. But this dude is supposedly a grown man.
Okay, this isn't just him. This is widespread.
He's noting it as the inspiration. He's taking inspiration from children, and it's destroying everything.
And the kids went out and just started painting blue lines all over the place. And the city came back to him and said, you need a more structured thing. The first place where it was approved as an action of a city council, was Findlay, Ohio. Since then, a number of cities in Ohio have been doing it. And then Wayne, New Jersey, was the first community in New Jersey to do it. And I know Wayne well. That's where I went to college, in Wayne, New Jersey. Since then, 72 communities in New Jersey have done it. Most of them do it down their main street. We can't do it down Main Street in Keene because we have that median down going up and down Main Street. So it's not the right place for it. And that's why I suggested Marlboro Street, because that's where the police station is. Before each shift, everyone that works for the police department drives down that street after each shift. And... you know, I'm sure it's important to the police department, but even more, I think the families of the police department appreciate it. The spouses, the kids, the parents of those who have family that work for the police, they would like to see that there is support for this. It's not a major expense. It's something that can come out of operating budget. We already have white paint that we use to mark parking spaces and crosswalks. All it needs is some blue tint added to it.
Yep, that's it. This is a town that actually did this nearby, adjoining state, New Jersey.
I am utterly demoralized.
Mahwa. They actually did this, and they'll show you some pictures of what it's going to look like. and some of the support from the police and the, I think the mayor's in here. Watch this.
It's consistently ranked as one of the safest towns in New Jersey, and many people here thank the police for that. So to show her appreciation, one woman, a mom in the town, asked for this thin blue line to be painted on the street in front of the police station.
It's pretty fat, actually.
It makes me happy that they at least feel appreciated. Susan Larson saw a thin blue line being painted on the street in nearby Wyckoff and called her elected officials in Mahwah and asked for one here,
them
too.
Signs.
Thank
Wong.
You so much for being a great police department. We appreciate you. Mahwah and asked
Look at
for
those
one
ugly
here,
signs.
Too. Thank you so much for being a great police department. We appreciate you. And then recognizing that there's a potential for this positive energy to go from town to town in Bergen County. So far, 15 towns in Bergen County have added blue lines in between the double yellow lines outside their police station.
Wait, did you see? Hold on. So here they're spending all this energy on
Bergen County. So far, 15 towns in Bergen.
They're spending all this time and energy and money on this nice blue line. Look how scrubby those yellow lines are. I mean, they're practically non-existent.
Well, then
you guys got to get your priorities straight, man.
Well, then maybe they need the blue line. They need something to delineate where the lane ends.
Police stations. It's a symbolic gesture that has helped raise morale, according to Mahwah Police Chief James Battelli.
The thin blue line is typically bordered on each side by other lines, one line being the general public and the line underneath it being the criminals. And the thin blue line is the line of police officers that protects the citizens of the community.
Mahwah has its own line painting machine.
That sounds fine.
Blue paint, so elected officials here say the cost was small. Mahwah residents are showing their thanks in other ways, too.
Paid for by the mayor.
650 homeowners are displaying these lawn signs.
It's another way to express our thanks for what they do.
Police officers' families here in Mahwah say more than ever before, they feel scared when their loved one puts on the police uniform.
I'm definitely worried every time. You never know what's going to happen, but it's tough. With everything that's going on, I guess. A little more of a threat or more of a concern.
Now, that makes sense.
So much violence going on, and people have no regard for life.
Supporters of the thin blue line are hoping that this
Roe v. Wade. Sorry, had to say it.
Beyond.
There is
Susan
no
Larson
regard for human life.
She has received many calls and texts from police officers who tell her they are very grateful for the recognition. In Mahwah, New Jersey, I'm Jen Maxfield, News 4 New York.
Okay, just for the record. Because this is one of those things. This is another one of those things that bothers me so much.
What?
There's this other myth that the police are out there risking their lives every single day, and that so many of them are dying. And yeah, you do have these horror stories where you've had some individuals who have been basically assassinated.
Yep.
Because there are individuals in this country who don't see the cops as. It's different here in Keene. I think a lot of people. And think where these blue lines are really taking effect. It's in the northern countries.
Well, it's in the safest town.
I'm sorry, the safest
town.
Yeah, exactly. So they don't know what's actually going on. They don't see the brutality. They don't watch these. They don't watch the YouTube videos that are coming every single day of police brutality across the country. But you know, but the myth is that
maybe they're showing appreciation for the cops in their own town,
and trying to keep it that way. Hey, we love you. We love that you're not beating on us every day. And they're like. As long as we're, you know, we respect your authority.
Does that sound so bad?
215.
I mean, I wouldn't want to give respect for cops out in Los Angeles or in Fullerton.
Most dangerous
but out in Keene,
jobs.
Why not?
Most dangerous jobs in the U.S. Overwhelmingly, fishermen, top of the list, 131 deaths per 100,000. Next on the list are loggers, and you got aircraft pilots. Roofers is in here. Garbage collectors, 33 deaths per 100,000. Let's find the cops. Let's find where are they at here. Here's firefighters.
Up.
Police officers. Let's see. 15.9. Let's round it up to 16 deaths per 100,000. Pale in comparison to fishermen. And I would say that.
How concentrated.
I actually looked up military deaths just to get an idea, because they're never on these lists because they don't really see it. It's not seen as an occupation. But in 2010, there were 88 military deaths per 100,000.
Mm-hmm.
And a quarter of those deaths were self-inflicted suicides. because Ooh. And I would imagine that the police are also suffering. It's that kind of a job. So I mean, if you want to make that argument that's how it's stressful, then yeah, I could buy that. But I mean, this is low on the list. These guys are not risking their lives. They're not the highest. Where's the fisherman's line? When do we put that up next?
Probably in the communities where there's a lot of fishermen. There's not going to be a lot of fishermen in Oklahoma. But you go on the coast, you go to
Alaska, maybe.
Northern Alaska, then I bet loggers and fishermen there's a more concentrated community. I mean, the thing about the police and the concept that they put their lives on the line all the time, da-da-da-da-da, is because there are cops in every city all over the country. It's not concentrated like loggers, like fishermen. Like, I mean, I lived for a few months in a town that the entire economy was centered around the mines, silver mines or gold mines in Nevada. And over there, it was like the mines were the way to get a job.
Yeah, by the way, miscellaneous extraction workers.
Not so much in Keene.
57
people don't really understand the mining community out in Keene, not to the extent that I was seeing it every day out in northeastern Nevada. So I think that's why the meme that police officers are, you know, the most dangerous job, it's the impression that people get all over the country. There's cops everywhere. There aren't loggers and fishermen everywhere. There aren't miners everywhere.
Yeah, there are firemen everywhere, and there are garbage collectors everywhere.
Yep, that's true.
Farmers, well, not everywhere,
but I think if you go further down on this, it shows what actually kills people. And, you know, if you find violence or homicide, police are still way up there. Mm-hmm. Transportation incidents, you know, yes, fishermen are way up there, but cops also, as a percentage of what gets them, you know, it's police officer, it looks like about half is from violence or homicide and half is from, you know, just trying to drive to the scene. So I think there's a point to both sides. I mean, I'm not in favor of the cops being able to kill people like Kelly Thomas and Fullerton and all that. And I think the idea of the blue line is in it on a very superficial, childish level, like the level that the people who promote this are thinking on, it doesn't really do anything. So what? It's a blue line, whatever. But everything that you said, I agree with. It's a participation trophy for everybody. It, you know, kind of is false. I mean, there are people in Keene who do not appreciate the police. Some of that is because they have a problem with...
Or the military.
This is just about the police. Some of them, it's because they have a problem with not beating their kids or something or whatever. They actually do... They are bad people and they need to be restrained, and violence is the only thing that will do it. And so there you go. Some people really do bad things. Some people on an ideological basis, they freak out about, you know, getting pulled over and you're oppressing me or whatever. And that's, you know, I'm on board with that intellectually. And, you know, Philip Jones doesn't represent those people who live in Keene, but I'm pretty sure that there are people who live in his district that he does represent, or his ward, that don't really appreciate the police. And it's not that they're bad people. They just don't appreciate it to that point. I think if the sentiment, again, as I've been trying to say, is genuine. It's childish, but it's genuine. Mm-hmm. If people, a more nuanced form of showing appreciation for the police and what they do would be to, I don't know, try to handle your own affairs so that you don't need the police.
Well, if we're all giving up our guns, you can't handle your own affairs.
I don't have any guns, so I'm not really in that situation
If you're hanging around with scuzzies that you're always having domestic disputes with every evening, you're going to need some authority figure to come
and
wake
I
up
think
the fight
the way
every night.
That's exactly what I was trying to say. Thank you for saying it for me. I think that the way that you show appreciation for the police is to strive to not need them as much as you can. Don't rely on them as your parent. And I've seen it myself where the cop is basically the parent who comes to tell the other people to stop screaming at each other. Not me, but other people in my life. And, you know, I don't think that's a very good way to appreciate them either.
Well, the one concern that came up during this meeting that pretty much everyone recognized was that if the blue line is given to the police department, what other departments and organizations are going to want their own line? They were talking a lot about giving the fire department a red line. And then, of course, you got Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And you've got the schools, and you have all these organizations. They're going to be clamoring to want their own line out in front of their building, and before you know it, I'm sorry, the whole stinking town is going to be coated like a rainbow. And I'm sorry, this might make you feel good in your, what was it called, tummy hearts?
Yeah, you've told me to stop saying that because people don't know what it is. I think people know exactly what it is, and they don't like it because it's them that I'm talking to.
I've never said anything bad about that, so it makes you feel good. But just keep in mind, this might make you feel good, but where does it lead? You know, what precedent does this create where everyone wants their stupid line in the road, and then you might have problems where people don't know the road from the sidewalk, and then you have an accident. God forbid. We got to go. Shauna, thank you so much for being on. And you're pretty lively this evening. I think I brought some articles that you could really get behind. I'm going to bring more of these. You've been watching Citizen Kane. The website, citizenkane.org, is there for you. All the previous shows are there, including the show notes, all the links to the articles we discussed and the videos and whatnot. Stay up to date by going and liking our Facebook page, facebook.com/citizenkane.org, same as the website. You can email me directly, email this show at citizenkane.org, or send me messages on the Facebook. And I'm going to try to get this live stream fixed.
I was
messing around with YouTube today, and I didn't have enough time to get that figured out. I need you to be able to watch this live for the people who want to call in.
You really do need the live stream, because if there's no live stream, then I forget that the cameras are here, so I don't get as self-conscious. And then I let the anger get on my face.
Uh-oh.
And guys, I already got enough bad on my face as it is, so.
You guys get to go home, and I got to put up with this. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for watching. We will see you next Sunday, same time. Good night.
Need to deal with it now.
Troublemaker.
You know, what pisses me off is that I've been reading that book about the assassination of James A. Garfield. And I thought he survived it. I have a freaking degree in history.
Oh, this must be Mandela Effect.
No, this is not Mandela Effect, because I have no knowledge about this dude. Mm-hmm. There was the president's song in like fifth grade, and that's it. I have a friggin' degree in U.S. history. I have a degree in history, in United States history. And, you know, okay, I think the 1880s are way too modern for me. It's a totally different country. But there were no classes in my college that covered the 1880s that I recall being available. I had a better opportunity to learn about 8th century Polish law than 19th century U.S. So I know absolutely nothing about this dude. And he sounds like he was a wonderful man. James A. Garfield, the whatever president. And it's really depressing. I'm not done with the book, but yeah, I'm pretty sure. I haven't looked it up yet, but yeah, I'm pretty sure he dies from this wound.
I think everyone in your book
is
dies.
Dead by now. Yeah, I know. But I mean, when I had the book about McKinley being assassinated, the way that they brought him out, McKinley and his life and his early life and his presidency and what he stood for and all that, it was like, you know what? I'm glad you're effing dead, dude. You know, they couldn't get to you fast enough, I guess. Now, was...
Silence! I kill you!
It was from an anarchist and all that. So I kind of was like, oh my God, anarchists are actually horrible people. And this dude, it's the same thing. It's the assassin, Charles Guiteau. Just going by this one book, it's all I know.
Charles Get Out?
Yeah, Charles Guiteau. He grew up not necessarily in abject poverty like James A. Garfield did, but he grew up with an ideological bend to him. And it kind of makes me worry for the future of people who approach life with an ideology, as opposed to James A. Garfield or Andrew Jackson, who really, really faced hardship and still strove to learn and strove to work hard. And James A. Garfield, his mother worked and sold part of their land to be able to afford all her children and not have to sell them off to live with neighbors. And
hey, you know what? If more parents just did that these days.
Well, I don't think I'm not going to find the book and read passages to you.
I would love to have a couple kids that I could, you know, get on with their nimble little fingers, teach them a nice good trade, like listing books for Amazon.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'd have them working around the clock.
Well.
And food. Food is cheap for little ones.
It's not even 9:30 yet, so don't you worry.
It's when they get big that they get expensive.
And then they get fighty.
And they get fighty and they eat more. And then you got to get rid of them.
But, yeah, it just seems so admirable, the life that he lived. And he didn't want to be president. This is so freaking ignorant. This is one single book that's assigned in college courses, for the most part, as a supplemental to a book of primary documents, I'm sure. But he supposedly didn't want to be president. He went to the nominating convention in the middle of his speech where he's like, I nominate this guy. And everybody in the crowd was like, no, James A. Garfield. And he's like, oh, God, no. Point of order. I'm not on the ballot. You can't vote for me.
Well, that's my kind of leader.
And then some idiot who thinks he's owed something because, you know, all the women in the stupid commune that his stupid polyamorous dad made available didn't like him, has to shoot him because, you know, whatever.
You going to finish this book this week?
I'm going to finish this book tonight if you leave me alone.
Stand by next week. Shauna will wrap up the tale.
Have my book report.
Of Garfield, the resistant leader. What's the word I'm looking for?
Reluctant?
Reluctant, yes. The reluctant leader. Those are the best kind in my book. Guys, I know we're not streaming, but it's still recording. Of course it is. We'll see you next week. Good night.